Blog Talk Radio.
We've been waiting for a long time. Yes, we've been waiting for a long, long time. We've been waiting for a long time. But we ain't gonna wait no more. We're getting ready to rock and roll. We're gonna 1, 2, 3, 4, 2, 3. What is the reason everybody should be shaking in the house tonight? And you should wear your baby lady and come to the right. Give that jack jump back and give you a shot of the blue. So you can party to the calm down, but you're loving rock and roll, rhythm and blues.
Indeed, the boys are back in town. Welcome to this special edition of the Cyril Quinn Review on this 30th of April, 2013, as we discuss the world of sports, the world of the Los Angeles Lakers here with my esteemed colleagues, Robert Sapp and Chad Quinn. Welcome to the program.
What's going on?
Hello.
Yes, I have.
I'm ready to do this.
We had to do this. It was, like I said earlier, a show that was basically a season, a year in the making. It was going to happen at some point, unfortunately for me. But it was going to happen. This is the State of the Lakers show. For my listening audience, my Blog Talk Radio audience, of course, you can always hit me up. You can always hit me up on the chat line. You can always follow me on Twitter, at William Gerald. Or go to www.facebook.com/SyrilQuinn, or go to my website at SyrilGeraldQuinn.com, but SyrilGeraldQuinn.com for the archive of this certainly legendary mega podcast. So, fellas, it's a lot. Fellas, obviously, the Los Angeles Lakers season concluded Sunday. I would like to first of all thank the San Antonio Spurs for taking us out of our misery. You know, it was no longer like, why delay the process? I mean, just
right.
Just shot to the head. Just get it over with. It's like, come on. I didn't want to go back to San Antonio. I didn't want to watch another game of that. So thank you for the San Antonio Spurs for not only taking us out, but doing it in a classy way. Even Greg Popovich just saying, hey, it wasn't a fair fight. So I thank you for that. You have a Laker franchise right now that is at a crossroads. They have more question marks than any team I can remember in recent memory who was supposed to have a 2-year window to win a championship. What do you do with Kobe? Do you amnesty Kobe? Do you get rid of Mike D'Antoni? Do you re-sign Dwight? Do you trade Powell? Do you amnesty Steve Nash? Do you get Meta World Peace and new meds? What do you do? I don't know. It's right. A lot going on in Lakerland. What we're going to do, people, is we are going to try to figure out what to do with the Lakers. What we're going to do, we're going to give you what we would do with the Lakers as general manager, president, the person's calling the shots, versus what we think they are going to do. And to kick that off, I turn over the microphone to Chad Quinn.
Oh, thank you, sir. Thank you.
No problem.
It's a pleasure to be here. I was hoping somehow you would apologize to me for the discussion we had last summer about Jeremy Lin being better than Raymond Felton. And that has nothing to do with the issue, but it's hard for me to move forward until you give me my apology about Jeremy
Lin. I will go
Lin.
Further than that. I remember saying, I did say that. And I also remember saying in a conversation at Temple Homecoming that weekend that the Sixers were going to be better than the Knicks with Andrew Bynum.
This apology I can't even hear.
And that's
it's
a further.
It's not an apology.
There's an apology.
No. Now you're grouping a bunch of craziness. I'm not talking about anything else. We're talking specifically about Raymond Felton.
I'm making it bigger than Jeremy Lin, Raymond Felton.
I don't want to be bigger than him. I don't want to be bigger. That's the thing. I just want to be all about the Knicks. I want to be
that. Felton had a much better year than Jeremy Lin. So that you get that one.
Okay. All right.
And the Knicks, you know.
And I appreciate it. I appreciate it. Now, moving forward, the Lakers. As everyone knows, as a Knicks fan, I still am a diehard Kobe Bryant fan. I really am. I don't know why. Well, I do know why. He's a killer, and I respect that. I respect the killer in him. But there's so many problems with the Lakers, and you gave us just a lot of different ways you can look at it as far as amnesty, who to cut, who to pay. And I think naturally it's easy for me to go through this process with looking at what's wrong with the Lakers. Once again, as a Knicks fan, I can't say this any other way, but D'Antoni should not be in the NBA. Okay, let's all be real. He did not coach the team. He is the – but to anybody out there, I don't know the demographic of your audience, but anyone who has seen Boomerang, he is the Lady Eloise of the Los Angeles Lakers. He is nothing but a figurehead to white America and whoever else. He's the figurehead. So they have his name there. They say you are the head coach on his title, his little paycheck he gets. But there was nothing about his system that was ran once the Lakers finally started winning. When you, as a coach, have a 4- or 5-time All-Star sitting on the bench at crunch time and you don't even start him, and when you start him, you're mad because he's missing 20-foot jump shots when he's the best post presence in the league, the problem is you. So the thing is, as I start with the coach, the complexity about it is, the thing that Lakers have to get away from is looking like a circus. And if you continue to replace coaches and coaches and coaches, it doesn't help that. And then the question becomes, who do you replace them with? So it's a two-part thing with the coach. I say you fire him if you get on national TV on your knees to a cutout of Phil Jackson and kiss his butt and apologize. And if and also let him be the president and take all the buses, heritage, take their name, take their legacy, put his logo on the remove Jerry West, put Phil Jackson on the logo. If you find a way somehow to convince him to come back, that's a no-brainer. But I think that bridge might have been burned. So the only other option is,
and also keep in mind, not to cut you off, but keep in mind, Phil, there's rumors that Phil is fighting a form of cancer. So that also might.
Listen, you know what? I'm very sensitive to that subject, so I won't be rude. I don't care what form of cancer he has. I don't care if it's colon, breast, lymphoma. I don't care what he has. I don't care if he has AIDS. Magic had AIDS. It has nothing to do with anything. But what I'm trying to say is, whatever ailment, disease, whatever he want to pray to, whatever's going on in his personal life, I don't care if he needs work from home days. I don't care if he's flexing and like, yo, Phil's not at the games during the week. He just shows up on the weekend. I don't care what Phil wants to do. Okay? I don't care what Phil actually wants to do. As long as he can come, if you're telling me Phil only has, I don't know how many games that turns out to, but he can only coach 82 plus the playoff games that he might not see another day, I want him. I want all that's left in his weak body to coach my team. If he can, and I mean that in a sensitive way that I care about his health if he's not healthy, but get Phil Jackson. Now, do you have some other inside news about him?
No, that was okay.
Now, if you can't get Phil Jackson, and this is me, because like you said, we're all GMs now, I am intrigued by Jerry Sloan. I just think it was really just bad taste in my mouth how he left the league. You know, he just wasn't ready to go, but the young boys took over the game, and they weren't giving him the respect that he deserved.
Darren Williams had him fired, basically.
Yeah, Darren Williams, basically the coach killer, had him fired. And we all know his resume. He reminds me of like a Carmelo Anthony or a Charles Barkley. Like, he never won the ring. Look who he had at battle. You know what I mean? You're playing the Lakers and the Spurs, no one's going to win. So I think Jerry Sloan is a really good coach, but also he's a disciplinarian, he's old school, and I think he's somebody ultimately who Kobe really respects. because it's really about Kobe and respect. And if Kobe respects you, everybody will respect you. So I'm intrigued by Jerry Sloan. But other than those two candidates, I'm just like, damn, you have to keep D'Antoni. You have to keep him as a figurehead if you can't get Phil Jackson and if Jerry Sloan is not a viable option. But I am the GM, matter of fact, so F it. We're getting Jerry Sloan if Phil Jackson doesn't make it.
No, you're right. This
Phil Jackson
away. No, you know, this is your team. You're making the call.
Right, that's right. I'm not using this type of power. I'm not using this type of power. So, bam. Okay, so we got the coach figured out. We got the coach figured out. We'll run a system or whatever. Now the next question becomes, what were their issues on the court? They're old. They're slow.
Yep.
So they have to get younger and more athletic and defensive-minded. However, this is still L.A. You got to have some big names, too. You got to have a couple of blue-collar workers. Like, L.A. don't want real blue-collar workers. They want Hollywood players that know how to have stunt doubles. That's what L.A. wants. So what we need to do is make sure we don't piss the fans off. You saw Jack Nicholson almost to show up to the game. You know, so we got to – let me say this real quick before I continue. The whole notion of amnesty and Kobe is stupid. I won't even speak on it. Stupid. So, all right, whatever. Kobe's saying. I don't care if Kobe's getting $50 million next year. Kobe's saying. That's not even a thought in my head. But I do got a plan for Kobe, though. So, anyway, my options are, and I have two different teams going on. I don't know. I try to look at the collective bargaining stuff and all that other stuff. Dumb math, but it was taking too long. So this is what I say. And I mean this with all respect to Pau Gasol. I have nothing against who he is or what he's done for the organization. He brought you two championships and almost a third. But it's just time for him to go. It's like you get tired of that rumor and the nonsense and the no. And like I said, with Jerry Sloan, with Phil Jackson, I think this is the first year that the soap opera finally got the best of the Lakers. Like, it used to be fun. There's always a story with us. You never know what we're going to do. And they finally got tired of their own story. And I feel like we need to just back up the story and get back to the basics and play basketball. So as good as Gasol is, as long as he's on the Lakers, he's going to be in trade rumors, all this other stuff. So I say, you know what? Oh, so as I'm talking about Gasol, we can only do this Gasol thing when we use an amnesty, and we're using the amnesty on old-ass, broke-leg Steve Nash. Steve Nash, no one wants to believe it. No one wants to say it because he's nice. Because he's nice, no one wants to say it. Can he still score in the league? Yes. Can he still, you know, get you a couple of nice passes and put the ball in the right place? Yes. Can he play for another organization? He definitely can, and he can start for another organization. But not for an old organization. You know, the whole purpose was, Steve Nash will be okay because Dwight Howard will cover up everything. No. First of all, Dwight Howard clearly couldn't do that. Second of all, the West Coast has too many strong, fast, quick, athletic point guards. He needs to be on the East Coast slowing the ball down, and he can still run offense. So anyway, bye-bye, because he had, 2 years, $19 million? Woo! Yeah, that's going to come in handy.
So
you're
rid of him. Steve Nash.
Yeah, I ain't said it yet. MC Steve Nash, right? Everyone's like, who's the point guard? Calm down. I have a couple of options at point guard, right? Well, I have one main option. And we're going to revisit a trade rumor that was really, really close to happening with the Gasol and Rajon Rondo trade. I am trading. I'm making that deal happen. I'm getting Rondo. He's coming off an injury. You know, the Celtics are playing good without him. Maybe they'll be open to revisit this. Kevin Garnett's old. They're all old over there in Boston. So if they think they can play better without Rondo, I'm making this trade happen. I get them some draft pick or whatever stupid stuff they need. And I'm getting Rondo as my starting point guard.
Okay.
So Gasol's gone. We got Rondo and Kobe at the two. I haven't got to the big question. Well, the biggest question was amnesty, Kobe. That was a dumb question. Sorry, that was a dumb question. The biggest question was max contract Howard, right? So I have two options with Howard. My first inclination is, and this is what I got to say about Dwight Howard. I got a few things real quick.
Let me get back to the Nash.
Okay.
Let me get back to Rondo. Gasol trade. Now, keep in mind, with these trades, you have to come within a certain percentage of matching the salary.
Yeah, what's the difference in salaries?
Gasol makes $19 million. Rondo makes $11 million. So I would say the Lakers probably would have to take back another salary, like a Brandon Bass or a Jeff Green.
Exactly. Way. Okay, and you know they're not giving us Jeff Green. So what Brandon, we'll do is – yeah, right. Well, of course. First of all, Brandon Bass is a good – it would be a great pickup for the Lakers.
Right.
You know, because once again, it's you, and he is actually that blue-collar cog that they need. You know, so it's a two-for-one trade-off. The key is, this is my team. I have to assume that Boston is going to take this crazy deal. But it's not completely crazy if they take it. I would take it if I'm L.A. So, yeah, Gasol for – and thank you for reminding me about the difference down in salaries. Gasol for Bass and Rondo with future picks, you know. That way it all equals out. So – I got a little money left over. Well, hold up. I got so many good things to do with the Lakers. It's crazy. I really shouldn't even tell them this because I don't want them to do this. The issue with Dwight Howard. Dwight Howard, and I know we're talking about his back injury and all that, he played so bad that he actually made Shaq not even seem like a hater anymore. Towards the end of the season, although Shaq meant it with hate, everything he's saying was so accurate. And I never agree with Shaq. And I'm just like, you're right. Just play with heart. You're right. Just dominate. Have a go-to move. He doesn't. And one thing I realized about Dwight Howard, people talk about his age and all of this, and he's still young. No, no, no. He's not NBA young. He's like Tony Romo. He is what he is. His character has not grown at all. I don't even look at his ball skills, which haven't grown either. But his character has not grown. He's mentally thought. He's always going to be a mental midget. You look at the series, Tim Duncan's laughing. And he's like, you're laughing at me because you got away with the foul. He's like, no, dummy. I'm laughing at you because you're faster, stronger, bigger than me, and you still don't get it. I'm making you look like a fool out here. You know, Tim Duncan's been in the league 30 years. 30 years, right? You wasn't even born yet. You came to the league talking about you were the first Christian or whatever, and now you got four baby mothers. Just stop talking. Okay? So, he is who he is. Just like Jason Collins. Like, oh, come on. Jason Collins is like the Clay Aiken. You know? He didn't surprise anybody. I appreciate him, though. I appreciate him coming out. It's a good thing that he came out. Proud of him. This is his brother. He come out, too. I appreciate it, though. No disrespect to Jason Collins in the LGBT community. Anyway, go back to Dwight Howard. He's a mental midget. He's soft, and he showed that he can't be the man. And to Shaq's other point, at the end press conference when Dwight Howard doesn't want to make a decision, granted, we all are due our respect, take time to go home. But however, you were talking about the Lakers. The Lakers. And this is when I think the Lakers have to put their foot down. When you're talking about the Lakers, the Boston, now the Knicks were desperate at the time, but those type of franchises, when people are dying to get to, no. There's nothing to think about. When I can offer you basically $30 million than any other team or whatever, there's nothing to think about. Are you going to sign this or not? We're not doing this Orlando mess again. So you know what? And maybe because I'm small and petty, I'm taking it off the table. I don't want you. Thank you. We good. We'll move on. We'll find a way. So how do we find that way? So going back to two things I said earlier about big names and blue collar. I like Josh Smith. Now, the last report I heard from Josh Smith, he had an interview on ESPN, and he was saying, all I said was, someone asked me, do I think I'm a max player? I said, I do. It was taken out of context when people said that I will only play for max money. I never said that. He was saying, the guy asked the question, he answered the question. So basically, he's up to negotiate, right? I think bringing him to L.A., they're going to give him his money, you know, the chance to really shine. He's basically can guard about 3 to 4 positions. He can't guard the one, well, 3 positions. You know, the front court positions, he got you. You know, I think him still being under the tutelage of a Kobe Bryant, or even if they have a Jerry Sloan, is scary the best that they can get out of him. Now, he's not the youngest anymore, but he's still very athletic, and he still brings that defensive presence. I think he can be at the least the same type of anchor that Dwight Howard was this year. Now, is he going to play center? No. That's why I brought in – who did I bring in? Where is he at? Al Jefferson.
Brandon Bass. Oh.
I'm sorry, Al Jefferson, too. Yeah, I got Brandon Bass. Brandon, go ahead.
Okay, so you're not going to be able to afford both of them.
I can't get both of them?
Josh Smith and Albert Jefferson, no. Both get max contracts. Yeah.
Okay, well, that's max. I thought you would say that. What about Millsap?
Millsap might not get max money, but he's going to get just a notch below max money. Not max, but a notch. Like, Millsap would get $12 to $13 million a year, at least, even on open market.
Is there any way I can get Dwight Howard still? Can I get Dwight? Can Dwight and Josh play together? They're friends. I can't afford them?
No. Okay. If you keep Dwight.
We'll figure it out. We don't want Dwight anymore, though. We will figure out.
Okay, So right now.
I thought I had this right. I think you messed me up.
You could no. Listen, you understand this. The Lakers are like so far over the salary cap. It's not even funny. All right, let's take. Okay, we amnesty and Nash. Okay,
yep.
Amnesty and Nash. We're taking about $10 million off the books with that. You still have Kobe, mind you. The salary cap is $58 million. The tax threshold, the tax line, meaning tax exemptions, things like paying your own players, go to about $70 million. Okay, tax line $70 million. So you still have Kobe on the books for $30.5 million.
Yeah.
You have Meta World Peace on the books for $7.7 million.
Yeah.
Okay. You have the trade which you made with Gasol and Brandon Bass. You're bringing back Rondo was about $11 million.
Yeah.
You're bringing back Brandon Bass, who's making about $6 million. That right there is about $50 million. Plus I haven't mentioned like guys like Blake, and then you're trying to bring in a guy. You're trying to bring in you can afford one quality player. Maybe if you convince Josh Smith to come down, not to be max.
That's what I said. I wasn't trying to give him a max salary. I was trying to divide in between.
Maybe get Josh Smith to get like $10 million a year, $11 million a year. If you can convince him to do that,
yeah.
Understanding.
Okay,
okay. I'm with you.
Okay, let me go back then. That still doesn't foil the plan completely. I should have known I made the Lakers too good. So I don't think. In my plan, I think we can sell Josh Smith on not taking max money. Because the reason I think so is because there's only about four teams that can offer him that type of money. I think it was Houston, but Houston probably give it to Dwight Howard if we don't take him, or Dallas. So wherever Dwight doesn't go, that's going to be Josh Smith's chance. You know what I mean? So I feel like since it's only a very – in a sense, the card is –
Cleveland has a lot of cap space, too. Don't forget about them. They have cap space, a lot of cap space.
Yeah,
they're not paying anybody. I mean, Kyrie's Irving is on a rookie contract. Bergeron's not making a lot.
Man, I would love to go to Cleveland with Kyrie over there. All right. Okay, so Cleveland, All right, you know what? We got to give him the money. That's fine. So this is what we do. This is cool. We still hear everybody. So we gave Josh Smith the money. The Al Jefferson dream and Millsap dream is abolished. But honestly, it was only a Band-Aid anyway. So what we do is we go ahead and get the African Dalembert for cheap, and he will be cheap, and people will laugh at me. But the reason I'm getting him for this year is because Kevin Love will be a free agent 2015.
Right.
UCLA.
Yeah, he has an early termination contract. He's going to terminate this contract. Like,
he's definitely going to terminate. He's already been complaining about wanting to be a big market.
Right. So everybody knows Kevin Love is out in 2000.
Everybody knows he's out. Where else better than to come to L.A.? You know, okay. Kobe will be done by then. We can afford him. So my center is more of a quick fix solution. I don't care about somebody that can give me 20 and 10. I need some money to take some charges, rebound, and defend. Honestly, I need a center like Reggie Evans for the Lakers. I'm being dead up here. That's all I need. I don't need a some offensive score or whatever. We'll have enough
looking
points.
You're looking for a banker.
Exactly. I just need a banker because if I got Rondo, Kobe, and Josh Smith, I would generate enough offense. So if I save money now, right, because you saw all I did was spend it on Josh Smith. So you're
right.
My banker. Stay with me. You're the budgeter here. Accountant.
Right.
I was trying to get O.J. Mayo might be at my price range, huh?
Probably.
Damn it.
Probably.
So, okay. So if I can't get O.J. Mayo, then I probably couldn't get J.R. Smith.
No, you're not getting J.R. Smith.
Okay. I get Nate Robinson now.
Yeah, you can get Nate.
This is what I want to do. This is what I want to do because I saw that Luol Deng, did he have an early termination clause?
Luol Deng Luol Deng will be an outright free agent in 2014.
Okay. Well, certain people I can't afford. This is what I'm trying to get to. Then I'll finish up and let Rob take over or whoever. I want to have a spark off the bench, and I thought Nate Robinson would be great for that. We already see what he's doing is amazing, and it's not like an aberration. This is what Nate Robinson gives you. However, he has to be coached by the right man. So, yes, Jerry Sloan could be that man, and honestly, it would be Kobe being that man. And I just think his personality belongs in L.A. They'll love it. He'll feed off of it. He's that energy that the Lakers don't have coming off the bench. He's that spark when no one else is going. He can get you going. So I need a person like him who's not going to need a lot of money. He just wants some security at this point and to be loved. That's what Nate Robinson wants. He's going to want a little change, but it's not going to be anything ridiculous. So my goal was to try to get another athletic but can score like a Courtney Lee-type two guard to move Kobe to the three. I want to move Kobe to the three this year. I don't know what Kobe we're getting back, but it's a chance his first year back, he might not be his best year back. I think he still has 2 years in him. I think if anybody can do this, it's Kobe Bryant. But either way, I just don't see him coming all dominating. And even if he can be this year's Kobe Bryant, even if he could be, this year's Kobe Bryant was offensively dominant, not defensively. I think, once again, Dumb D'Antoni, when you're like, oh, yeah, Kobe should guard the best player. He should guard Brandon Jennings. He can do it for a game or two, but he's killing himself. There's no reason this stage of his career Kobe Bryant should be playing the best guards, best one, two, three, whatever. So I feel like putting him at the three gives him a lot more freedom, a lot more space, and a lot more help when it comes to defense. I don't want him to guard the one or the two. So we're moving Kobe to the three. And also it gives him a chance, kind of like a la Carmelo Anthony, to exploit the bigger threes at times. I think he'll still have his quickness, and he still has one of the highest basketball IQ presently, besides Tim Duncan. So that's my goal, to move Kobe to the three. So my team is very makeshift, but when I say a two, I would actually think about someone like a Jared Bayless putting it to two who can start, gives you good experience, gives you good size, and he can shoot. He's a little bit underrated, honestly, for what he does. So it could easily look like Rondo, Bayless, Kobe, Josh Smith, and Dallin Bear. Now, on the surface, it won't be that team that says contender, but I do believe it starts to put the Lakers in a great position where it's not even just a Band-Aid. They are trying to move forward because we know the Lakers, we talk about certain organizations, they don't start from scratch. They don't know how to. They can't, you know, compute that thought. So it's like we're not really starting from scratch. We're starting from scratch as far as our image because this year we were just laughable. We were the Clippers this year. You know, they finally had that
taste. The old Clippers.
Yeah, the old Clippers, I'm sorry. So I think, you know, Rondo, Kobe has no problem like sharing the team. I think he will actually, someone like him, will get the best out of Kobe still because they're going to fight. They're going to battle on that court. You know what I mean? Maybe you can still pick up a Matt Barnes. He's going to be a free agent yet again. You know, he loves Kobe. That's one of his best friends. He'd come back there for Chief. So I think once you fill out your starting lineup, and I also like as a backup point guard, who he's not going to be that expensive, but he's been on my radar for a minute. It was Will Bynum for the Detroit Pistons. He's another blue-collar worker. Not a lot of Nate Robinson. If you can't get Nate Robinson, he's a Nate Robinson-light type player, but he has better defense. So I think what you do is you surround your team with athletic defensive players. It's kind of like the Memphis Grizzlies in a sense, but a little more offense, because you're not going to have the money to go get these offensive talents anyway.
Right.
You know, you go ahead and get you one big name, and then you start to really think about system and chemistry. And I think Kobe works best with people he knows are dying for this game. Like when Rondo says he doesn't understand how people laugh in the locker room, that brings tears to Kobe's eyes. You know, Kobe needs
right.
players like that who believe that, who are that sick about it. And I do believe this injury was a godsend in a way, because I don't think Kobe knew how to let go of that stardom. And I think the way he was defying, you know, Father Time wasn't helping him think about let go of that stardom. But I think this sense humbled him too. And I think he will come back a different player and ready to slowly move over. Not next year, but ready to phase it out to someone he can trust to move it forward. So anyway, the biggest thing
I was done.
That was it. That was my closing.
So,
I got
rid
of
D'Antoni. You added Josh Smith. You added a couple pieces.
Right.
Josh Bayless. You added, you know, Will Bynum. So, basically,
right.
you have Rondo. Remember, Kobe probably won't be back until, let's say, December or January.
Right.
I don't expect him to start the season. So, you have a lineup of Rondo, Bayless, Metta World Peace, Josh Smith, and Dallin Baird. That's your starting five.
Yep.
With, say, Blake off the bench, Will Bynum off the bench, and a couple other pieces that you can get. That, you know,
maybe like also, come on, we all know it. He'll come back home. I could probably go ahead and sniff and smile his way and bring Lamar Odom back if I wanted to.
Maybe, yeah.
Tyler.
I mean, it's a possibility. That's definitely a possibility. Like you said, Matt Barnes. You can fill those other, like, 8 to 10 pieces as far as the 7 to 10 players. Those pieces can be filled, you know.
Right. So, well, let me say
right.
one more thing, too. So, yes, that's my team. Like I said, it's not going to scare anyone right away. But I feel like that team, my team next year, if I'm the coach, if I'm the GM, we're playing with a chip on our shoulder. So I'm bringing people with chips. If somehow
right.
Boston gets rid of Rondo, he got a chip already. He already had a chip
right.
when they was winning without him.
Right.
Rondo stays with a chip. Josh
so,
Smith will have a chip because no one said he's a max player. So I'm getting those type of people who really just want to play basketball. Go ahead. Last thing I was going to say, the long term, what I want to do for the older players is kind of like when everyone laughed at the Knicks when we brought in, once again, go back to the Knicks, Jason Kidd, P. Wallace, Crazy Kirk, Thomas, the list goes on, Kenyon Martin. We just can't be, you know, Cammy didn't do much. But the point is, we weren't getting these players to give us 40 minutes and bring us to a championship. It's 15 or 20 minutes of just great basketball knowledge. And we've actually extended someone like a Kenyon Martin or Jason's kid career. And I think that's what the Lakers need to start to think about, although it's only 1 year, with Crazy Artest. Crazy Artest don't need to start for the whole year. But he still has enough, a high enough, when he's on his meds, basketball IQ to be very serviceable in spurts. I don't want him playing no more than 15, 20 minutes a game. That's all I want from Artest. So in the beginning of the season without Kobe, as I told you, Kobe's going to take that 3 spot. Without Kobe, yes, Artest will be playing a little heavier minutes, but my backup 3, whether that's Barnes or if I move Odom, play around with him to his position, they're going to split that time up, you know, very equally. But anyway, that's my team.
Okay, so, right, I got you with that. I got you in terms of that being your team. Explain to me, how do you sell that team to Kobe Bryant, who, mind you, next year will be ending last year's contract, has already had retirement talk, and came out today and basically said, I expect and we expect to compete for a championship next year. How do you sell that team to Kobe Bryant? He doesn't want to go through any, he doesn't want to deal with changes. He doesn't. He said he came out and said, I want Dwight back. I want Powell back. I think we're healthy. We'll be fine. I don't want to go through a rebuilding process. How you sell that?
Okay, if Kobe comes to me and says that, okay. First of all, Kobe, calm down because I still can answer you. Okay, I don't like your tone. Number one. Number two, in your heart of hearts, you don't like Dwight Howard. You're smarter than this. Dwight Howard showed you who he was in Game 4. You know, when you just let your team down like that, he's not someone you can build around. He doesn't even know if he wants to be here. If you don't come back to your full strength, can he be the man? You don't believe that. You know, so I get, and, you know, they had a great article about Kobe. Kobe is in a very, rightfully so, selfish state of his career. He shouldn't want to rebuild. He shouldn't want to wait 2 or 3 years. So when he says, give me Dwight, give me Gasol, if he's Kobe, and he is Kobe, he comes to me like that, I have to let him know, okay, so are we amnestying Steve Nash because Dwight still doesn't solve the problem with the backcourt? Like, you got to give me some wiggle room here. Like, you can't sit up here and really think, unless you're in complete denial, that this team is going to win next year. You know, completely healthy with that system and mentally soft Dwight Howard, I think you might have taken it first to six. If Westbrook's healthy, OKC still would have beat you. I'm just still not believing that Kobe even believes that team can win. But I guess your point is, does he think a team I built can win? And
yes, that's my point.
I look at it like this. I think that Kobe has to understand, he has to understand, at this stage of his career, right, your demands aren't like a LeBron James or whatever. You're still the man in all of that. But there's very few teams that can expect to get to the finals. They can expect to get to the finals. This team is expected to make some noise and have potential to go somewhere. So do I honestly believe a healthy Kobe with Rondo in the backcourt and Josh Smith could potentially be in the finals? I honestly do, because when I look at the West Coast, and, you know, everyone, as I'm watching this Golden State game, please kill the Denver talk about you could win without a star player. When are we going to learn this? The only team to do it is the Detroit Pistons. This is not my Melo trade. We won talk. Could go there. Not going there today. But stop talking like you could win without a star player. I know Gallo's hurt and all of that. Denver is a feel-good team. They're like the Washington Wizards of the West.
You have to have superstars to win.
So what I'm saying is we X out Denver right there. Golden State is scary in 2 more years. I really like what Golden State is doing. Mark Jackson is the perfect man for the job. But Curry's ankle is always messed up too. So I'm just saying, like, they're not there yet, and Curry is that X factor. But I like what they're doing. They're just not there. Houston, their offensive team, they get Dwight Howard, they are a very scary team, but, you know, that's not there yet. So Houston's still not there. The only team you really have to worry about in the West is where I'm getting to as far as contention is OKC. The Clippers don't know if Chris Paul is even coming back. And I saw progression during the beginning of the season, but since then I've seen a lot of regression in their front court with Blake Griffin and Jordan, so they're not ready. Memphis is one of those blue-collar teams, like the Pacers were. It's really good.
It's
really going to push you. Can't score. So what I'm saying is, what it comes down to it is, you have OKC, and, oh, let me finish. The Spurs, I'm finally going to say it. Next year is it. This is it. This is the last year to get to the finals. This is the last year to win 50, 60, get whatever. This is it. Please stop, Spurs. Please stop it. I can't take this anymore. Matter of fact, I can't take this. The Spurs are still going to be there. I lied. The Spurs will be there. So you got OKC, the Spurs, can. And that's it. So when it comes down to it, do I think we can match up against the Spurs? Yeah, because I think Rondo would make it a wash with Tony Parker. Tony Parker is the main thing that kills us when we play. I'm just thinking about what is the Achilles heel when it comes to the Lakers. It's always that backcourt. You know what I mean? So we're speeding the backcourt up. Kobe, you're not even in the backcourt anymore. You can relax. You can go ahead. All that free safety you've been playing in, it actually works out now. You're supposed to play free safety now, not with your two guard. So what I'm saying is we worry about OKC. And mind you, Kobe, you know, Westbrook had an injury too. So, you know, we don't know how he's going to come back either. So there's really only two teams that I really say are automatic contenders. So if I could sell Kobe on, look, we're not necessarily contender, but we damn sure good enough to get the fourth or fifth seed. If we can do that, we can just go ahead and make some noise. Because I think, once again, this season humbled them. The Lakers were just trying to get in the playoffs, and they were like, yo, we get in, anything can happen. They were saying that from an AC perspective, and then they got the seventh seed and was happy. So if I go into Kobe and I can give him a legitimate argument, which I do think I presented, that I can get you around a 4 or 5, let's do this.
You sell that to him, and then you're basically hedging your bets in terms of, I don't want Dwight Howard. I don't think he can lead this franchise. And if Kobe retires after 2013-2014, that'll be $30 million off the books.
And I'll go ahead and get Kevin Love.
Yeah, I can go ahead and get Kevin Love or any or maybe another big time free agent come 2014-2015. So my future will be set even if he does decide to retire. So okay,
right, because this is the thing. And the last thing I'll say is this, and I'm done. But my whole thing is, it's kind of like consulting work. It's bigger than what you see on paper. You got to feed these egos. Kobe, at this point in his career, is all about legacy. I remember texting you and Rob earlier this season when Kobe went on this ridiculous tear to try to get y'all to the playoffs, and I said, you know what? I'm even more and more impressed. Who else has done this besides Kareem at this age and been so dominant? So Kobe's already added this whole level of mystique. And I said, Kobe, look. This roster right here, this is how you go out to the sunset. You give this team a chance to win the championship, and it's not like a bad team or anything. But you go ahead. Now, the danger is you go ahead and get Dwight Howard and Gasol and D'Antoni back and healthy and lose. Do you want that on your resume? Because I don't think we'll win with that team. And if we don't win with the team, you still taking all the heat because it's your team. Everyone realized that Dwight Howard's not the man. He's still going to talk like he is, but this is your team. So at least if you go out fighting with someone with heart, and he doesn't have that. So, yeah, that's it. That's all I'll sell Kobe on. You with us. We got Rondo. You got Josh. They ready. Let's do this.
All right. You heard, folks, you've heard the point made by Chad Quinn. He wants Dwight out. He wants Nash out. He wants D'Antoni out. Keeps Kobe. Signs Josh Smith, picks up a couple of nice pieces, Rondo, of course, and he's going to sell Kobe on that particular team. Rob, you up.
All right. Well, first of all, let's let the record show that Chad Quinn talked for 40 straight minutes. So we'll see how long I get before I interrupt it. We'll see.
You wasted 2 minutes.
There we go. Wow. Yeah, there was a lot said. I commend you, Chad, on like your thought process and your ability to put pieces around Kobe for another go around. That was well thought out and thorough. But I'm going to go back to the original question, which was, how do we fix the Lakers? Not how do we soothe Kobe's ego and how do we send Kobe out into the sunset, but how do we fix the Lakers? And from a Celtics fan perspective, the Lakers are all about championships. Now, a couple of things that you said were really interesting to me. We were thinking on somewhat similar wavelengths. I like the idea of Rondo getting over there to L.A., and I also like the idea of Josh Smith getting over there. It's kind of interesting. I feel like the Rondo one has been talked about before, but it's interesting we were on the same wavelength about Josh Smith. Now, I would submarine a lot of that. because I don't know if the Celtics and Lakers can actually deal with each other, if that is physically fundamentally possible that they could deal with each other. So that's kind of like even like a pushback back on mine. I'll table the Josh Smith one for a second because I do want to kind of digress a little bit and talk about what's wrong with the Lakers. I've been waiting so long for this. So you mentioned D'Antoni. Now, obviously, D'Antoni is the absolute wrong man for the job. Me and Cyril have gone back and forth on, not back and forth, we've been in agreement and been talking back and forth about how can you even dare to match up 11 rings with 0 rings. Like that, there shouldn't even been, that should have been a topic. It shouldn't even been a conversation. It shouldn't have been anything. It should have been, Hi Phil, what do you want? What does it take to get you here? Period, point blank. So how that was a discussion and how D'Antoni ended up with the job is a mystery to me until you think about what is really the Lakers' problem. And the Lakers' problem is really Jim Buss. That's the problem right there. And that being said, and the ego that's involved in this is what is going to fundamentally either prevent the Lakers from reaching those kind of those heights that they reach with Jerry Buss, or they're going to have to do something radically different than what has looked like the Lakers before. And so, with that being said, I'll run to the Lakers, but I'm going to have to kind of run as I would think Jim Buss would be thinking right now. And you have two ways to go. And I think you did a really good job of pointing out one way. One way is we keep Kobe. We try to mix and match some pieces in here. We try to hold it down for, you know, as close to a run as we get, and then we try to attract some free agents. If I'm fixing the Lakers, if I'm thinking about it, if I'm thinking about it from Jim Buss, and I want to make just like the ultimate stamp on this team, then what I want to do is I want to get as close to possible as clearing the deck. Now, I agree with you. It's going to be hard to do this. It's going to take a tough SOB, but I think Jim Buss is the tough SOB. I wonder if he actually cares what people think about him, or I wonder if he actually cares what people think about the moves that he's going to make. If I'm on the supposition that he doesn't really care like that, then the very first move I'm doing is I'm amnestying Kobe. That's the very first move. I'm taking that $80 million off of my, like, I'm getting that $80 million. That's a lot. Kobe is 34, correct?
Yes, 34, we'll be 35 in August.
34.
Okay, 34,
35 in August. Coming off a major Achilles surgery. I respect Kobe more than I ever thought I would respect Kobe. More than I ever thought I'd respect Kobe. But if every move and everything that I make is predicated on how Kobe will feel about this at 34 and coming off a major Achilles surgery, I can't work that way. I can't work that way. Kobe, you got to go, and I have my $80 million right there. So that's number
so
one.
Let me stop you right there. Before, I want to explain the amnesty a little bit to the listening audience. Okay, what Robert Sapp is talking about with the $80 million is, it's not cash based. $80 million is luxury tax that the Lakers will save if they amnesty Kobe. They will save $80 million in luxury tax, or $76.5 million to be exact. And they will have $30 million, 30 and a half, which will be his salary for next season, off their cap. And with the amnesty rule, his Laker days will be done, where he goes If he chooses to play, another team could put in a blind bid for him. They'll take the highest blind bid, and that team will have the rights, will be able to acquire his rights. And that team will share in the Lakers in terms of paying the rest of his salary, but it just will not count against the Lakers cap for 2013-2014. Go ahead.
Excellent. Yeah, love you, Kobe. Bye. And, like, enjoy. Enjoy the next place. In the next place that he went. So now that Kobe's gone and I don't have to worry about that tax and I have his money off of the books, what I want to do is I want to think about, all right, how am I going to get this team back to a championship level? Yeah, I could put some pieces together. I could do all of that. But honestly, I'm Jim Boss. I'm thinking from that, even from my perspective right now and hearing all of the articulate and well-thought-out moves that Chad made, I can't do that. I don't have time, patience, thought process to figure that out. What I need to do is I just need to wipe the slate clean. Now, this is where I deviate a little bit personally from what I think Jim Buss might do and what I want to do. Me personally, I want Dwight Howard gone as fast as I can kick him out the door. Peace, bye, you know, God be with you. I want D'Antoni to stay for the next couple years. And then basically, I want to put out a squad that is going to win maybe 20 games. D'Antoni, you're going to fall on this sword. You're going to fall on it as hard as you possibly can for this year. Get a top lottery pick and then put my eggs in the basket for either the class of 2014 and 2015. And
let me stop you. Lakers do not have first-round picks for the next 2 years.
I was thinking,
ladies and gentlemen, look at your 2011 New York Knicks. That's who you just created, the Knicks.
But here's my rationale on that. My rationale is this. I went back, and I told you this, Cyril. I kind of did a deep dive into the history of the NBA and looking at the teams who won championships, looking at the coaches, and looking at, you know, the players who won championships. And what we all know, but it's just kind of stark when you go back and look at it, if there's a precious handful of franchises, there's even a precious few handful of players that can do it. There's even a fewer precious franchise that have been able to accumulate multiple championships. And there's an even smaller pool of head coaches that can actually bring your team and put all of that together in a way that gets you to a championship position. And so while I initially agree with Chad's first premise, if you can beg, get on your knees, humble yourself, and get Phil Jackson to somehow sign with you, then I think that would alleviate everything else. But I'm going under this as Jim Buss, and that's a cold day in hell that's going to happen. And so what I'm going to need to do is I need to make sure the next big major star that I pull into the franchise is completely happy. It's completely happy. So let's just say, for example, maybe it's LeBron James, maybe it's Kevin Love. I'm sitting down with my superstar and I'm saying, who do you want as a head coach? I'm going to put that out there with them, meaning I can't get Phil, I can't get Popovich. That's pretty much it. I like the Jerry Sloan pick, but Sloan can wear heavy on superstars, as we've seen. I want my superstar that I'm going to bring into L.A. to be completely 100% happy. And so I believe what it is that I would do, kind of as Jim Buss, I'm analysting Kobe. Kobe's gone. I'm thinking hard about, and this is the piece where I could probably use a little bit of help. What I would like to do is I would love to sign and trade Devontae Howard. I would love to sign him and get some pieces for him, keep Gasol, have the pieces that I get from that sign and trade deal around Gasol, sucks for that season, and then get ready to woo whoever I can woo in either the 2014-2015 season, fire D'Antoni then, and then have a clear cut like, yep, we're going to get a coach, GM, superstar player, and you're all going to be on the same page.
Okay.
So,
okay.
That
so,
is
okay.
In my wonderful world of
right.
the Lakers.
Okay, so you are – so who are you? Are you amnestying anybody?
Kobe. Kobe's amnesty.
Yeah.
Oh, right. I'm sorry. So
yeah.
So you're going to have a lineup. You're going to have a lineup. You're going to have Nash, Blake, Meta World Peace, Gasol, and whoever.
And then I would love to sign and trade. That's why I'm feeling like if I could sign and trade and get Josh
right.
Smith.
Keep in mind with Dwight in terms of sign and trade, because it can be very – I thought about this too when I was going through scenarios, various scenarios. You have to find a place where he's going to commit to long-term with the sign trade. And he's going to be a free agent this year. He's going to be a free agent. I mean, he is a free agent. You have to find a place that he's going to commit to. Nobody's going to make that deal if he's not going to willing to basically commit at the same time to that particular place. There are a few places that have pieces, but those are those places that he's going to commit. Like, Portland has plenty of pieces, but he's not going to play in Portland.
Right.
So you have to find a place where he's going to commit. And Houston's not going to do a sign and trade because Houston would be like, we'll just take him as a free agent.
Yeah.
So that's going to be – that's tricky.
I think the only team he'll really do a sign – well, according to Dwight, who always changes his mind, would be the Nets.
Yeah, that's what I was – that was my second go-around.
That you would
sign. But you got to look at the pieces that you would get back.
So if you try to move to the Nets – who are the Lakers getting back?
Well, honestly, this is what I'm saying. If I'm taking it from Jim Buss's perspective, if I'm taking it slightly off of Jim Buss's perspective in mind, Dwight can just go, just leave, just exit the building, keep on walking.
So 2013-2014 team is going to be one of the worst teams in the league.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, again, that I agree with the strategy from the standpoint of you're not in the middle. You're either at the top or you are completely, totally rebuilding. You are totally rebuilding,
yep.
So you're not going
yep.
between it all.
Gotcha.
I got from there. But good luck trying to sell that to your $3,000 season ticket
yeah,
holders.
Yeah, that's the issue.
From a business standpoint, it wouldn't fly from a business standpoint in L.A., It would be hard. It would be a tough deal. It would be like there's like, but again, it's your team. You're running the show. But that would be my hold in that particular that scenario. Trying to sell that to those fans and to those people, those ticket holders who pay the kind of money that they pay.
Oh, we're gonna start the LeBron campaign. That's all I'm gonna rally the troops around.
Well, this is
the LeBron campaign.
Well, this is why I like what you said. I commend you because it was very ballsy. And it was very, not only that, though, it was a smart and a blueprint, but it's a blueprint for a small market team. I think when I said that this is like the 2011 Knicks, it's because that was our strategy. And then we went after LeBron, but you got to remember about star players, they're not trying to start all over. It's not just about money with them. They're looking at your roster. Don't just tell me what coach I can get. Tell me I have a chance to win. So, because like, I just don't see a LeBron, a Melo, a Kevin Love even, coming there to play with the Steve Blakes and nobodies, the Harlem Globetrotters. That's my main issue. So it's like what Cyril saying, from a business standpoint, you're not going to sell it to your fans. They're going to, first of all, from a business standpoint, D'Antoni wouldn't even make it physically. He would have to have the maximum security. If you're thinking the Lakers fans are going to allow him to stay 2 more years losing. They already saying we want Phil when they try to make it to the playoffs. There's no way D'Antoni's going to make it 2 more years in L.A. losing. I just don't even think that's fathomable. But I do really like the strategy of cutting ties with Kobe is major, but I think you just can't. If you cut ties with Kobe, I think ultimately you have to commit to Dwight Howard.
Here's how I equate it, and I do agree with you, because we're in what will we do, and then what do we think the Lakers are going to do.
Right.
Obviously, I think the Lakers are going to keep Dwight Howard. That I obviously think. Like, I don't see them letting him go, and so, like, right there. But under my scenario, I'm equating, I am bringing a little bit of kind of sports kind of analogy to it. If you look at Jim Israe, and right, it's Jim, I'm getting all these J's, and it's Jim Israe, right? Isn't that the current owner of the Colts? It's Jim, right?
It is Jim.
Yes. He made his power grab at the time in which his superstar was at his least. I think if there is any time which to kind of make the Lakers franchise, particularly this piece of it, like yours, this is the time to do it. This is the time to do it. Now, I don't know him personally enough. I mean, I don't know enough about him personally to know if he's the type of character who would do that. But it seems to me like he does not, particularly with the Phil move, he doesn't care that much what the fans want. And if he wants to make moves in a more free aspect, then I think the first piece of that is amnestying Kobe. Mm-hmm. And then the second piece of that is to get a superstar who's going to be the face of his franchise. That could be Dwight Howard, and you keep Dwight Howard, and then you start to mold the franchise around him. That's where I slide in back into it a little bit and be like, I hate Dwight Howard. I know he's a mental midget. If he's the centerpiece of my franchise, we're never winning another championship again, and I want him gone as fast as possible. But they'll probably be built around Dwight.
And the only thing I'll say, the last thing I'll say, and this is where you go, is the difference between my plan and your plan is that you're going to completely tank for 2 years. Mind you, my plan is still foolproof set up for when Kobe leaves to have that superstar. So why tank 2 years and prepare for a superstar when I'm still competitive for 2 years?
Piece to your plan is what I which is Rondo coming over from that. Like, I initially thought of that, and I would be fine with Rondo and Dwight Howard with D'Antoni there, because I think that point guard piece could make the whole thing go, and it could be Rondo, with Dwight Howard getting there. But I just don't think, there's not a part of me that sees the self, like, that happening, where the Celtics fan of me is leaking in, see the Celtics and Rondo making that happen. And so then it becomes, can we flip Paul Gasol for another point guard? We need the point guard is the key. If you tell me I can get a point guard for Paul Gasol, then I'm willing to go with the younger point guard and Dwight Howard. But I don't think we can get a younger point guard for Paul Gasol.
Okay.
I think Rondo would actually be the perfect fit for him, and Dwight Howard can trade off being mental midgets as much as they want to be.
So you think you can go back to a possible – But that wouldn't happen. I was thinking to sign and trade and try the whole Chris Paul thing again. But no, that could. That probably couldn't happen.
Chris Paul,
I appreciate it, though. I like it. But anyway, we took two different perspectives, but I do applaud you for that. That's bold. That's bold.
Good job, fellas. So, this, okay.
This is your team.
I had my deal set up about 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I went through a million trade options, went through every team, the trade machine, had everything in line, set up, ready to go. Get home, and says Kobe Bryant speaks. So, all right, want to hear what Kobe had to say. He goes into this basically, I love Dwight spiel, basically. I'm gonna have him over my house. I'm gonna talk to him. I want him to be a Laker next year. And I just, at that point, I was just like, I had to change my whole deal. I will give you the original deal at the end, but this is what I would do, and I hate it because I want this dude off my team, but I have to keep him. So I'm gonna begin right away. Right away, put the coach, D'Antoni. You on the first flight to Turkey. Get the hell out of my franchise. I don't want to see you. If I see you near the court, I might have you. Whatever. Go to Egypt. Get away. So I bring in as my coach, first option, Phil Jackson. For whatever reason, Phil can't come in, fine. Okay.
If Phil
turns me down, I go to Byron Scott. Byron Scott.
I thought about him too.
He knows the Lakers. Kobe loves him. He played at the end of Kobe, at the beginning of Kobe's career, so he knows him. He's been to two finals. He's a good coach. I don't care. Cleveland, whatever. I don't know. Go hire Mike Brown, whatever. So I bring in Byron Scott. You know he can coach superstars, Jason Kidd, Chris Paul. So I got my coaching settled. Then, okay, with my personnel. Okay, first thing, Steve Nash, get the rocking chair. Your ass is amnesty.
Here we go.
So Steve Nash is gone. He's gone. So I'm keeping Kobe. I'm keeping Kobe on the roster. Okay. Meta World Peace, I'm keeping him because he has an expiring contract that I can move come February if I need some more pieces. I probably will. Okay. Now I get to Paul Gasol. I have a trade for Paul Gasol that works within the cap. And that I feel would be done, that definitely could be done. I'm moving Paul Gasol to Minnesota for Kevin Love and expiring contract. I have it right here. Kevin Love and Brandon Roy. Brandon Roy has an expiring contract. So you have to take something bad back. The reason why I say Kevin Love. This is why I say Kevin Love. Kevin Love was born in L.A.
Oh,
played at UCLA. Time out.
I'm so sorry. Well, I didn't know the rules were that this trade didn't even have to be doable. You know that wouldn't happen. That trade could happen.
Listen, Minnesota doesn't want to pay anybody. They know Kevin Love is going to leave. They don't want to pay anybody. They have an expiring contract in Gasol, which will get $19 million off their books after this year. It's definitely a doable trade. It's a doable trade. So I'm giving Kevin Love back and Brandon Roy. Okay? So now I have Kobe coming back, say, in January. I have Better World Peace. I have Kevin Love. I have Dwight. I'm re-signing Dwight, reluctantly. So I have Dwight back. I have my guards, Steve Blake and Jody Meeks, for basically nothing. So my lineup, with Kobe's on the sideline, my lineup would be Steve Blake at the point guard. I have Jody Meeks at the two. I have Meta World Peace at the three. Kevin Love, Dwight Howard, filling in the front court. And off the bench is I can fill in my off the bench pieces with like Jordan Hills and guys of that nature. That's easy to go out.
Right.
So that is what I would do. And then for the future, keep in mind, Kevin Love has, the early termination in 15. I believe that I can sign him. And here's the thing. I have to sell Kobe on a team that can compete for a championship so that he just won't retire. Because, you know, I believe if I bring back garbage, I think Kobe will retire. I'm not amnestying Kobe. If you amnesty Kobe Bryant, okay, and I didn't mention this to you, Rob, because I didn't want to, you know, want to let you go on. You amnesty Kobe Bryant, he will find a way, and this is how he's wired. He will find a way to destroy the Los Angeles Lakers, whether it be San Antonio or whoever. He will find a way. I guarantee you. I'm not having Kobe Bryant come back and win a sixth championship with another team. I couldn't, like, it's not going to happen. He would purposely screw the Los Angeles Lakers by killing them. I can't risk that. If anybody can come back from his injury, I believe he can come back. I don't buy it. He's wired differently. I don't want to hear about Chauncey Phillips. I don't want to hear about Andre. Who is not Andre Miller? I don't want to hear about anybody else. They're not Kobe. They're not wired like Kobe. So I fully believe that he will come back. And the bottom line is his game is not based off athleticism anyway. Okay? He's beyond that. So he'll be back in December, January. Maybe he doesn't even have to be at the same level he was at this year with this team that I've assembled. I'm counting on the fact that he will get into Dwight Howard and be like, look, man, I need you. I think he's going to play mind games with Dwight Howard. Like, and I think he's going to train with Dwight Howard. He's going to train, he's going to work out with Dwight. And Dwight Howard will come back next year on a mission. Now, beyond when Kobe leaves, I don't know what that will make. I don't know what the next three or four years will look like. But this team will have a chance not only to win a championship, but
better world. Let me ask you this. Sure. I really like what you did with the Byron Scott thing. And, you know, it's funny because you have elements of what me and Rob both did. You know, me and you both got rid of Steve Nash. You guys both signed Dwight Howard. The thing that I have a problem with is you have not at all answered your defensive or backcourt issues. Kevin Love, we know, is a great rebounder, not a defensive player at all. And you're telling me Steve Blake and Jody Meeks are going to be able to hold the fort down for Kobe?
Here's the thing. Yeah, I think they'll hold the fort down until Kobe gets back. But here's the thing. The Meta World Peace contract is key. With his expiring contract during the trade deadline, I can get a couple pieces. I can get a defensive point guard that can shoot threes. They make those come off trees. He doesn't have to be great. You be defensive. He's Lindsey Hunter type. Shoot threes, defend the wing. I can get that guy. That's not hard to get.
Okay.
It's not. And for the future, I'm set up to where if Kobe walks, let's say he goes out in the sunset, let's say they make it to finals, let's say he decides to retire for whatever reason, I can go out and I have that $30 million coming off the books along with Meta World Peace's money. I can go out, I can get LeBron, I can possibly get, if LeBron doesn't come, a Luol Deng, go after another player in 2014, Wade will be, his contract will be up as well. A couple of, you know, Carmelo Anthony has an early termination. So I feel like I can go out and get a superstar or two very good pieces, or two or three very good pieces to go around Love and Dwight. The Love and Dwight front court to me would be unstoppable. If Love can shoot threes, he can post up. Dwight coming back will come back, I think, healthier than last year, but be 20-10, 20-12 again.
But this is the thing, too. This is the other thing. Like, you know, hindsight's 20/20. Like, I think, again, you're sipping the Kool-Aid because although he wasn't Kevin Love, the Dwight Howard Gasol connection was supposed to be unstoppable. Right? Before the season, wasn't that true? So, what I'm saying is.
I come in with a coach that knows what he's doing. I come in with a coach that actually can coach talent.
You can't coach heart. This is what I'm saying. Like, starting the season out without Kobe, you need a leader. Right now, your team is leaderless. You have Kevin Love, who's a complainer, and Dwight Howard is a complainer. It's what I told Rob about the Sixers when they signed Bynum. You got to watch when you sign a cancer, besides what you bring physically on the court. I just think it's combustible to have I know what you're saying offensively, but I'm talking about personality-wise. I think it'd be very combustible to have a Kevin Love and a Dwight Howard and God forbid they go on a 5-game losing streak. Whose team is it, and who are we blaming?
Now, mind you, Kobe is still on the team. He's still on the team.
Kobe ain't playing in January, you said.
Yeah, he's December or January, but he's still on the team. His presence is still,
right.
It's not like he's tired. He's still in the locker room. He's still on the team. By the time then, he'll be in the locker. He'll be dressing. He just won't be playing. He'll be in the locker room. So that leadership presence is still – his presence is still there. It's not like –
So was his presence – the same presence that helped Dwight Howard stay in the game in game four? Nobody listen to Kobe while he's not playing.
No. That Kobe – that the Kobe you saw now clearly is on crutches. This Kobe's not going to be on crutches.
Yeah.
He actually probably practicing, but just it's a matter of we don't want to rush you back. So it'll be a different – He'll be way further along in the process than what he is now. Now he's crippled. So that, you know, December, January, he'll be, and he's even talking about November possibly, but I don't believe November. Let's say December. Let's say Christmas. Let's say by Christmas he's there. NBA season, you know, is a marathon. So by Christmas.
I don't know.
He'll be...
Go ahead. Sorry.
Hey, good. No, go ahead, Ron.
No, I was just going to say, I didn't know how much time we had, and I definitely want to get to what we think the Lakers are actually going to do.
Oh, no, we got time into that. No, we got time. Go ahead. What's up?
Okay, perfect. So I hear that. And that getting Kevin Love, wow, that's good. If that can happen, you know,
yeah,
that will be fantastic. I want to go back and see if I can get Derrick Rose with mine now. No, like this is.
I
this
want
is
LeBron James.
Just the thing, and this is like now, like if we come like we come back out of fantasy land and come back to reality and come back to
right,
what
reality.
Is
reality.
Going on with the Lakers. Again, it comes back to the central problem. The central problem is not Dwight Howard. The central problem is not Mike D'Antoni. The central problem is Jim Buss, which is why I say D'Antoni is going to be there at least another year because Jim Buss's pride won't let D'Antoni go, won't let the fans dictate what happens with him. So D'Antoni's back another year. Kobe, you're absolutely right. You know, as much as I think it would benefit them, Kobe's not going anywhere. They're not getting rid of Kobe. And they're going to bring Dwight Howard back because they don't know what else to do. They don't know what else to do. And so what we're going to do is we're going to have this same show all over again next year.
However,
if
they keep Kobe, D'Antoni, and Howard, which I agree, but if we put that sprinkle of what you can get for Gasol, that makes the Lakers very interesting.
I do think they'll make, I agree. They will make a move for Gasol.
Because he's gone. He's definitely gone.
It's just if, like, can that be flipped into some perimeter player / point guard who won't be a Steph? Be allowed on any court again. He just,
no. He's going to put him out the passes. Let me give you the original plan I had.
Let's see the original.
The original one was, of course, get Dwight out, Amnesty Nash. I was going to trade Gasol to Sacramento, and I matched it up with the trade machine. Trade Gasol to Sacramento for John Salmis, Marcus Thornton, DeMarcus Cousins, and Isaiah Thomas.
Ooh.
Wow.
Well, Time out. You said you got rid of Dwight Howard, right?
Right. Dwight, you know, I'm not resigned. The original one had Dwight Howard gone. So that money was, that money, we didn't have to worry about that money. And then we have, get rid of Dwight, trade Powell, Amnesty Steve Nash, that still remains, trade Powell for John Salmis, whose last year will be, who has an expiring contract for after the 2015 season, for Salmis, Marcus Thornton, DeMarcus Cousins, and Isaiah Thomas.
This is your problem.
Now, keep in mind, Sacramento is a franchise that doesn't want to pay anybody. DeMarcus Cousins has been a head case there. They're just looking to move anybody. They're looking to just, Gasol would be expiring contract. So they would release him off after. So that would leave the Lakers. It would leave the Lakers with Kobe Bryant coming. You know, I keep Kobe. Kobe Bryant. Right. You know, for him to come back. I have Isaiah Thomas at the point guard, Marcus Thornton at the two guard, Melo World Peace at the small forward, Cousins at the power forward, and I'll sign Jordan Hill, and he'll be my center.
Okay, that's the only issue I have. Me and you are coming from two different perspectives. Like, when I started and I went on and on, I was talking about more IQ. You were talking about more numbers. Now, you are not a big video game person. Me and Rob are. So we've done the GM thing for years. The thing about a video game, when you do the GM, they have what is called computer intelligence. So besides the numbers adding up, they put in that X factor of computer not just buying BS. So that's what I'm saying. Like, even like your Kevin Love theory, it does work from a numbers standpoint. But if you're saying, well, look, he's coming off the books, he's not going to sign with Minnesota. As soon as every other franchise hears what y'all trying to offer, you don't think they're going to try to offer something too? Like, you're making it like the Lakers are the only team that has a chip to trade for. So, like, even at the Marcus Cousins thing.
No, keep this in mind. It's not too many teams that have chips that have $19 million expiring contracts, because not too many teams are paying their players like that. And there's not too many teams that's going to be willing to take back that kind of salary because of the luxury tax, and they don't want to pay that. The Lakers have the luxury with the $3 billion television deal to where they can afford to go over the luxury tax and as a repeat.
What you're going to end up doing, you're ultimately going to get David Stern killed, because you're going to force him. You're going to force him to override yet another Laker deal. The owners will not have this. The owners of the league will not let this happen. You're crazy. You think you're going to bring in DeMarcus Cousins or Kevin Love for Gasol? They will not let that happen. It just won't happen. They'll be David Stern will be hiding.
But DeMarcus Cousins is a head case. I know he's talented, but he is a head case.
I like it. I definitely like that idea. He's interesting. He is a head case, but man.
And those other players. I mean, Thornton, Isaiah Thomas.
Yeah, nobody cares about Thomas and. I like that one. I like that, though. I do. I have to commend you. But I just don't know like you said, you know what? That's a great deal, though, because it is like Sacramento. Oh, they don't care about nothing.
They don't care about nothing. They're going to have another team. They're going to have a team in Sacramento next year. They extended it. So,
yeah.
But even still, they're not. They are shaky. They could be had right now. Like, they could be – you can get them right now.
Minnesota
is a reach with Kevin Love. It's a reach. But the Sacramento deal definitely could be had. Now, the thing about the Sacramento deal that I have doubts about is, could I sell Kobe on that team for next year?
Who is the power forward? Jordan
Hill? The power forward is DeMarcus Cousins. Jordan Hill is the center. Cousins is the power forward.
Cousins
is
the center, though.
Oh,
anyway, it don't matter. Anyway, that's your front court. That's your front court. Isaiah Thomas starting point guard?
Yes, Nash got amnesty. So Isaiah Thomas or Blake, either one.
I honestly think that
Isaiah Thomas
your original deal is very similar to my deal, because I still did have, mind you, Josh Smith and Rondo. You know, so I think with those teams, you have to sell Kobe on not just being good. You know, you'll have playoff teams.
What I thought about with this deal too, that I can be like, all right, Kobe, this team, we're going to the playoffs. It might not be championship caliber. I won't tell him that. I'll be thinking that in my mind. It might not win a championship. But Kobe, think about, I'm trying to get you to play the following season as well. We'll have this contract off the books, and we'll be able to get a player for 2014-2015.
Right.
That's my thought process.
I mean, like you said,
the fun thing about this is it's a lot of moving pieces. A lot, you got to think about the future. You got to think about now.
This is the problem. This is the bottom line. This is your show. This is your world. But we have already moved past reality season. I mean, fantasy world. So, like you said, the main thing I think we agree on is, unfortunately, D'Antoni will be there. Unfortunately, Dwight Howard will be there. I don't see them amnesting Kobe. So I think we all are in agreement that
that's what I think they're going to do. This is what I think they're going to do. I think D'Antoni will be there. I think they're going to sign Dwight Howard. Trey Gasol. I believe that they're going to MC Kobe. I believe they're going to MC Kobe. I think the $80 million is that.
I'm just telling you, it's too tempting. Jim Buss is such a prick.
A-hole. So I think he doesn't care. I heard Ms. Kupchak talking today. It was like, yeah, you know, the league is different with the collective bargaining, and we got to look at some things with the money. He was kind of talking, and, you know, subliminally. I don't know how much you can read into it, but he was talking about the money aspect of it. So I believe that they're going to MC Kobe, sign Trade Gasol, sign Dwight Howard, and sell people on the level. They're going to secretly try to sell people on LeBron for 2014. As replacing Kobe. That's what they're going to
do. It begins.
I mean, he got
it
Dwight
begins.
There. And, you guys present such a great argument because you are talking about Jim Buss. So I just don't see that happening. I don't see him amnestying Kobe. But at the same time, it's easier to sell Dwight on Stan. He don't like Kobe. He really don't. But you're saying Dwight definitely has to.
You don't want to work that hard and think like let's get into this for a second because as we know, Cyril is a LeBron hater, right? Like LeBron, Cyril destroyed LeBron for years and years and years. Let's dive just a little deeper into this Dwight Howard thing. Let's not just brush this over so quickly, shall we? Dwight Howard, and this is the reason why you'll never win with Dwight Howard. Dwight Howard, and I have to give Stephen A. Smith credit for this because I saw this as I was watching First Take, but I thought this point was so apt. Dwight Howard is fine with losing as long as it's not his fault, right? So if he puts up 25-15, they lose, but nobody can blame Dwight. Dwight's cool in the game with that. Where Dwight is, and this is the special type of mental midget he is. This is a special type of mental midget. This is unique onto Dwight himself. Is that he cannot stand for people to blame him, and he will actively look for ways out. And so that manifests itself in so many different ways. In the wishwashiness of Orlando, that manifested itself in the, I'm just like a good guy and all I want to do is smile and joke around. Why is everybody being so hard on me? And it finally manifests itself in the ultimate way, getting himself kicked out of the game in the last, getting kicked out of the last playoff game. There could not be a bigger punk move than that. There can't be a bigger punk move than that. And that can't be overstated enough. And so why I agree with you, I get what Kobe's going. Kobe, I love Dwight. But in Kobe's mind, he's like, I'm going to fix him. I'm going to get him. I'm going to get him playing on this level. Dwight Howard just doesn't want to work that hard. He just fundamentally doesn't want to work that hard. We talked about knowing what it is to be a champion. Dwight doesn't have that in him. He doesn't have that in him. And I'm not sure coming off Achilles with that injury, Kobe has enough to pull Dwight Howard along. And I think Jim Buss is thinking that exact same thing.
Okay. Okay.
I also believe LeBron is going to sniff LA. I 100% agree with you. They're going to start the LeBron to LA machine moving, but I believe LeBron's going to sniff LA and go back to Cleveland. But that's a topic for another time.
Yeah. Just because we started, don't mean we're going to get them. But I definitely think that they're going to be pushing that LeBron to LA thing hard. I think the buses and Kupchak are thinking about that right now, to be honest with you.
So the thing is, I'm still going back to this because Kobe does have $30 million.
$30.5 million. Yep.
$30.5 million. You amnesty him for 1 year. He has 1 year in his contract, right?
Right. Next year is his last year. His contract.
Next year is his last year. And you're keeping Steve Nash for $19 million for 2 years. Hmm. Wow. That's interesting, man. That is interesting. I would love to see it happen. Part of me would love to see it happen. The other part doesn't want me to see it happen at all. You want to see him finish his career as in a Laker jersey. But, however, it's very intriguing to find a man that's been fired to think about the teams that he can go to. Oh, man, that's very interesting. Like you said,
You right now, if they amnesty him, he will come back and haunt them. Listen, he's going to a championship caliber team. We've already been burned twice by disrespecting the legend in Phil Jackson.
This is my question for you now. I'm sorry. This is a good question for you because I heard you read the whole amnesty policy.
Right.
But I thought it was a little different. I thought it wasn't just a bidding war, but it was like teams had it was like a waiver wire. There was an order, and that's why, like, for instance, Chauncey Billups was so pissed at first because he was thinking about the teams that would be able to get him that he couldn't just turn down.
It's designed to keep teams who have the most money not from getting players like a big-time player who gets amnesty. So the bid is a blind bid. So you don't know – you're bidding against different teams, but you don't – number one, you don't know who you're bidding against. And number two, you don't know how much they're bidding. So we joke about San Antonio. It would be we don't know if he'll go to San Antonio. He'll go to San Antonio. It's not like he has a choice. The only way he could go, he could pick his team or a team could pick him, is if he didn't go. If he didn't get bidded for at all, which would not happen.
Right. So so that's what I'm saying. So basically, the player has no choice.
It's a blind bid, huh?
Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. So basically, Kobe Bryant can easily end up with
Dallas. He has no choice, basically, in terms of where he goes.
Right. That's my point. Okay.
I'm retiring. I'm even moving. But how many teams would – the thing about it is I can't see a terrible team bidding for him.
Why not?
Huh?
They just trying to sell tickets. Why not? Like a terrible team definitely would be.
The thing about it is you're gonna have to bid. You can't just throw out. You're gonna have to bid. Like certain players got bidded for that was $12 million not too long ago. What's the dude? He's from Houston. Scola. Scola got bidded for $12 million.
Right.
So with a Kobe Bryant, you're gonna say I think a baseline blind bid would be like $10 to $15 million.
$10 to $15 million. Right. I agree with that.
So how many teams could afford that? How many teams would be willing to pay that without messing with the luxury tax and things of that nature? It becomes a financial thing as well.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. Yeah, maybe Kobe meets up with Mike Brown again. He's in Cleveland, you know, with Kyrie. I don't know. This is funny to me because, your arguments you presented are believable. Which scares me because I'm like, wow, okay, I really just thought that was a dumb question and it wouldn't happen. But, okay, it can happen.
No, it definitely can happen.
It can happen.
You talk about $80 million, it can happen. Like $80 million in luxury tax.
And that owner.
Well, that's the owner. That's the main thing I'm looking at. I ain't thinking about a luxury tax.
This wouldn't even be a thought.
No, God, no.
If Jeannie Buss was running and calling shots from back
yeah,
there.
No.
Yeah. Phil would be hired, by the way.
Phil would have been there, yeah. maybe this dude has, like, it wouldn't be called an Oedipus complex, but maybe he likes his sister. Maybe he's like the Gladiator dude. Like, he really hates Phil Jackson with a passion.
He despises Phil. He won't be his brother.
They don't get along. None of them get along.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Particularly those two. Because it's like think about it, like you look at it in history. Me and Cyril were talking about this. Like when has nepotism worked out well?
Right. Okay.
You might be able to like pull out one or two situations history, but usually it turns out bad When it goes bad, it goes really bad. And so
right.
this is a situation is where Dad, in his infinite wisdom, wanting to keep all of his children involved, split the pie, split the biggest piece of the pie between Jim and Jeannie, but the other four are involved in it as well. And
right.
so in naming two, you know, it's kind of like with the quarterback. You have two quarterbacks, you have none. And naming Jeannie as business ops and then Jim as player personnel, he's almost naturally created this rift. And
right.
they're just running with it.
All right, I have
okay.
two questions for you.
Okay, I think we should have.
For real, this is recorded, I believe.
Yes, this is recorded.
Look at our rosters. I think whoever or the start of the 2013-14 season is closest to that Laker team, coach to player, drinks on the other two.
That's fair. That's fair.
Right. Whatever we're drinking.
That's fair. Well, yeah. All right.
Matter of fact, the meal. Dinner, everything. Dinner on the other two.
No, hold on. I don't know about
that. Well, yeah, no. I'm definitely agree to that.
Yeah.
I'm definitely agree to that.
I'm keeping the drinks. The dinner and the drinks. There's three of us.
Because I think essentially this will boil down to, like, D'Antoni's going to be there. Dwight is going to be there. Do they amnesty Kobe, and then what do they do with Paul Gasol? I think those
yeah.
are like the two essential questions. I'm leaning towards they don't amnesty Kobe, even though I think
mm-hmm.
it's a really good possibility, like a really strong possibility. Whereas I think all Laker Nation, for the most part, is thinking that would be crazy. I think it's much more 50-50 than anybody would give it credit for.
Oh, it can happen.
But I think if we just acknowledge, like, okay, Kobe's president and everything like that, you know, then the essential question comes, what do they do with Gasol?
Well,
I think that
question
be,
because as a Knicks fan, once again,
right, what?
And has,
what?
No, let me say,
what piece do they get? What's the trade? That's what I mean.
Oh yeah, because well, okay, I get what you're saying, but the point
yeah.
is he's gone because knowing D'Antoni's resume. He is very childlike. He holds grudges. And when he doesn't like you, he doesn't learn to like you again. He doesn't. The only reason Gasol came back and started again, because he got tired of everyone's mouth. When it's in the offseason, if you guys believe, if we all agree that D'Antoni's still going to be there, he's not moving forward with Gasol. This is not going to happen.
Yeah.
No, Gasol's
yeah.
not going to be there next year.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I agree.
Yeah.
If we all agree,
this is
like,
definitely
who's
intriguing.
Be there?
You know. So, for real, are you feeling optimistic, though, about the Lakers' future? the short
no.
term and long term?
Neither. No. No. We are a crumbling dynasty. Crumbling. No. Not with Jim Buss. No. No. I have zero confidence in what. It's all Kobe. He got one leg right now, so no.
I never realized how much you guys look like the New York Knicks. This is crazy to me.
It's
I mean, from the owner down, it's scary. It's scary.
It is. It definitely is now.
Yeah.
Well,
exactly.
You know, as a Knicks fan, look, we had about a 14-year drought, so. You got time. You
we
got
could
time.
Be in for. We could be in, it might not be 14 years, but we could be in for a long one. We could
yeah,
be in
no,
for a long
one. It could easily be more 14 years.
It could. Because it's hard to get. It's hard to. We saw me and Rob having this conversation how hard it is to get dynamic superstar players in general. Especially,
I mean, you know what the thing is, though? It goes back to
Rob's
other point. It's not about being so hard to get the players. It starts with the owner. This is why the
yep.
Knicks were in a 14-year route. It wasn't that we didn't handle star talent in the league that we didn't have a chance to get. It's
so
the
owner's yeah.
decision.
Owner best, yeah.
Yeah, so what I'm saying is you can easily be in a – it depends on how long he's going to live, basically. that really defines the rut. You can't say, well, no, maybe 5 or 10 years. No, no, no. If Bus is still there, you're still where you were until you get lucky. He's going to, what happens is, it's like, and I hate to use this term, mean it all respect to the audience, but it's what they call a retard mistake. Every once in a while, someone with my meager intelligence does something very intelligent. And within this 15-20 year span of just destruction, he's going to luck up and do something smart on accident. But you just don't know which year is going to be. And that's kind of what Dolan did with us. He put in place the right people. You know,
and he had Donnie Walsh. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying, by putting in place the right people. He didn't want Donnie Walsh. He got him.
No.
And he still was trying to put Isaiah at the top. So Walsh fell into his lap in a sense. We need the right personnel and the right ear to grab a hold of Bus, if that's even possible. So, yeah, you could be in for a long ride, buddy. But the only thing I could say, you know, when you do start winning again, because you will, it feels great, man. It does feel great. But just don't think about winning anytime soon. I think you need to focus your energy more on just loving the game, man. Like, I've become such a basketball historian being a Knicks fan. I just love basketball. I love to see a clean game.
Speaking of basketball, I want to give you two things in terms of these playoffs.
Okay.
One, because this to me has been the story of the playoffs. What do we feel about Steph Curry?
Okay. Rob, you want to go first? Or?
Sure, I'll go first. I'll be short. I think Steph Curry is of course a budding superstar. I mean, you could argue right now it's like LeBron, Carmelo, and then Steph Curry, or LeBron, Carmelo, Kevin Durant, and then Steph Curry. You know, but like he's in the top five discussion of best players in the playoffs right now. Like, he's been that good. I've been very pleasantly surprised at his ability to get to the rim or get his shot when he wants to, and then his ability to pass has been great. With all those things being said, that boy is one ankle. To watch him twist his own ankle coming up the court and that being the thing that, you know, and ankle surgeries and all that, that worries you. That smells of, I can smell the Larry Bird essence around him. So we're seeing a budding superstar, but those ankles definitely worry me.
Yeah, I agree.
You ride into those wheels fall off. I think you play it as well as you can play it, you know, monitoring him, but you don't rein him in, you don't pull down, you know, X amount of minutes. You just let him go and, you know, keep your fingers crossed.
The only thing I add to that is I think, like to Rob's point, he's gonna have a dynamic 5 to 7 years. And I hope I'm wrong. I'm not speaking that on him, but that's what I see. Because he just hit. Besides his ankle, his body frame is so weak anyway. But the one thing that really stands out, besides his underrated passing, because his shooting is so dynamic, is he's a breath of fresh air. Because I thought we were already completely transitioned to this 6'5" dunking athletic point guard era, you know, the Derrick Roses, the Westbrooks, the John Wall, 6'3", 6'5", you know, I thought that's what the new age point guard was. So he's kind of old school but different, because he reminds me of like a Mark Price / Steve Nash. So to see him at his size do exactly what he did in college is just amazing. You know, his handle's ridiculous. He don't play no defense, but his handle's ridiculous. His passing's ridiculous. His shooting's ridiculous. So it's just like, I didn't even think that you could be that small and still be that dominant. The last person that I've seen like that, and I'm not
saying
he's still
6'3", though. He's still like 6'3".
So, I'm just talking about
he might be slight of frame.
Stature-wise.
Right.
He's like, he has no body strength at all. That's what I mean. He's like a 6'3" Kevin Durant. Okay. So what I'm saying is the last guy that small, although he was shorter, would be Allen Iverson. And I, like I said, I'm not comparing their games at all, but I haven't seen anybody this size, just that dominant where you could say he's a superstar and he's, well, you know, Chris Paul is different because he's more of a leader, but whatever. But I'm talking about like a legitimate threat to give you 30, 40, 50 a night. I'm just intrigued because I'm just having fun watching him, man. And that's why I was saying earlier about Golden State was that it's kind of like you root for them because everything fits in place. When you watch these little snippets and you hear Mark Jackson talk to them, it's like these kids are playing Pee Wee League football out there. He out there just a proud dad. I ain't never heard no coach that so much. You know what I mean? And they out there, like, it all fits in. It's like the stars are aligned in Golden State because their personnel and their coach, it fits the stadium. You know what I mean? The arena, this is what the people love. You know, it seems like a big pep rally when Golden State is playing. So I really, and, you know, with Klay Thompson, I just want to see it last, man, because the dude is the truth. You know what I mean? He's the truth. So it would be interesting to see his career develop.
And one other point guard to think about in terms of the question, how do we feel about the Derrick Rose saga?
Well, me and Rob talked about this briefly. We talked about this briefly. And the main thing we said is, like, if this is your – well, it's not if. He's your franchise player.
Right. He's franchise.
He's your franchise. I just think that you have disserviced him by not taking a stance that he definitely is not playing. Somehow those reports about him medically cleared shouldn't have came out. And if they were going to come out – all those days of, well, he looks good, but he's not ready, just shut it down from the gate. Because like me and Rob said, I felt like the whole organization has taken a passive-aggressive slight at Derrick Rose because without saying it, you are questioning his heart. Without saying it, that's what the Bulls organization is doing. This is like the elephant in the room. Everyone's like, well, no, because everyone's saying a PC thing. They're like, no, he knows when he's right. You can't tell a person when they're good to play. But in the back of their mind, they're like, well, damn, he's a superstar. He's been clear for months now. In the playoffs, he ain't going to get no healthier. They said he ain't injured anymore.
Joakim
Noah
playing with one foot.
I mean, I tell you what, I love Derrick Rose. I like this dude's character. I love his game. But that ish would not fly in New York. I mean, we had Jeremy Lin. He came off an injury and said he's 85% healthy. Really? You better get out there and play. And he only played 20 games. He wasn't a superstar, but we needed a point guard. You better get out there and play. Like, we're not talking about no role player. This is a superstar. You got to play if you're healthy. So that's what I'm saying. Like, so when you say what we think about Derrick Rose, I blame the organization because they allow us to continue to have this forum and these questions about Derrick Rose. If they say, look, he's not playing, we ain't talking about Derrick Rose.
Exactly.
Not with the maybes. Because I'm still waiting. I'm like, yo, you know what would be hot? If game six, he just come down. I saw the commercial. They sold the commercial as soon as he got hurt. That Nike commercial, that little Adidas commercial, whatever they ran. When it's like the terrible thing he fell and then everyone's applause, he come back in the arena. We still wait for him to come back in the arena. I really still believe he's just going to show up. I wish they would stop playing with my feelings. Tell me he's not playing. Because the thing is, the pessimists of the world, God forbid he doesn't play. In his first preseason game, he go off for like 50. In a preseason game. People are going to be disgusted. This dude. Could have did that last year. You got Nate Rob. You got the Bulls could have beat the Heat. That's going to be the topic. They could have beat them. So, yeah.
And the last one.
Yeah.
He should be. I think he should be playing. I think if you're cleared to play, I think it's a matter of his ego, and I think he's afraid that he won't be doing a double, triple, 360 reverse play. That's what I think. I agree with you.
I think he nailed it on the head. This is what happened in practice. Nate Robinson crossed him over and dunked it. He's like, nah, I'm not good. I'm not ready. Y'all got it. That's what happened. That's exactly what happened. Because the player's been sick, and they're like, well, he looked all right in practice until he got dunked on. know, that's what he's saying in practice. So,
and the
I
last,
do.
The last one is from a playoff standpoint. Can anybody beat the Heat? Who has the best chance?
No.
I'm not there. I'll
no, you can
first. I'll take this one first because I want it to come from me. I have not said this to anybody yet. But we're
saying, here we go, Rob. Do it.
Calm down. Let me get it out. With Westbrook being out, the Thunder not being what they would, and I didn't give them much of a chance against the Heat anyway, then I have to go, all right, LeBron's the best player in the world. So it would seem to be that the team with the second best player in the world has the most reasonable shot at beating them. And so I definitely think without Westbrook, I think it's the Knicks who have the best chance of beating the Heat, because Carmelo is just what he is. He's the next. It's LeBron and then it's Carmelo in the playoffs. They're the two best. I don't know if we will do it.
I can tell you wholeheartedly we're built to beat them. We are built to beat them because the three things Miami don't like: penetrating point guards, they don't defend the three well, and they hate physical basketball. And we have those three keys besides a star player like you're saying, Melo. And I think as great as a defender as LeBron is, he's going to have to, you know, defend Melo the whole series. And he is going to win that competition, but it's still going to take a lot out of him. So I think this will be the first series where LeBron is really going to need the best of Dwayne Wade for the whole series.
Elephant in the room. It's Dwayne Wade's knee. Me and Rob was talking about this today.
That's true.
Yeah. So, I mean, but with all that said, like I said, I think we are the team to build. Like, you know, if somehow Spurs and the Heat meet up, they're going to kill the Spurs. I don't think
I completely disagree with that. Go ahead.
Okay, yeah, I know. I just think that they're too quick, they're too athletic. I won't say they'll completely humiliate the Spurs. I think they'll win in five heavily contested games against the Spurs. I think it'll be good competition, but ultimately they'll win. I just think that Miami, you know, from top to bottom, they're the best team. And if if he's healthy, then yeah, I don't see anyone beat him but the Knicks.
I think Dwayne Wade. You tell me he's healthy. I think they're unbeatable if he's healthy. I don't think he's completely healthy myself. With that being said, I think definitely the Knicks in the East have the best chance. I think overall, with the way it's setting up, I think the team with the best chance is the Spurs. I think everything is breaking in the Spurs. I think what I've seen out of Parker and Ginobili has been impressive. Duncan, of course, has been on that juice.
Hold on.
I think everything's setting up. I said the Lakers was a walkthrough, so they didn't have to work hard with that. They're going to play the winner of this Golden State-Denver series. Even if it's Golden State, I see that going five at most, to be honest with you. I think the Spurs will take Golden State as part. And now you're talking about either Memphis or Oklahoma City or the Clippers. Either one of those teams, as currently constructed, I just don't see – like, I think the Spurs are going to the finals. And I think they get the Heat. I think Duncan – can hurt Miami. I think Parker can hurt them. I don't think they would beat Miami, but I think they have, to me, all around. Their depth, Popovich coaching, I think they had the best chance to beat Miami. With that being said, I don't think anybody's beating Miami, but I think the Spurs have the best chance. Right, Spurs, Knicks, and then it's a drop-off after that.
Yeah, okay. Well,
Rob, what would you say? Are you saying that – I get back to what you said about the best player. Are you saying that Carmelo's better than Durant, or are you saying that Westbrook being hurt takes Durant a notch down because of with that injury, and that Carmelo is the next in line after that?
I think both. I mean, I think what I've seen from the Thunder in the past two games without Westbrook is that it's Carr, it's too much for Durant to handle all on his own.
Right.
So specifically, the fact that they don't run any plays. Like, it's just like they would have to reconceive their offense. And they're like, so I think him, it's just being Durant, it puts too much pressure on him with not enough outlets. Furthermore, though, I do think Carmelo, since the last month of the season, up until this point, right now, is playing better than Durant.
Okay.
So I do think he's the second best player in the playoffs.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. The only thing I would add,
I want to stay on Durant for a second when you brought that point up. I talked to Rob about this earlier, maybe a week or right before the playoffs actually started. And I might be alone here, but, you know, everyone says it's a runaway that LeBron is going to win the MVP. He should win it unanimously, and I couldn't agree more. But then they say right after that the argument is, but Durant has made so many strides in every category, which I agree, except for mentally. I felt like he regressed as a leader this year. Prior to Westbrook being hurt, I felt like it was just their team. I didn't see him grow at all as far as I'm the alpha male here. And I almost thought that this is just what it's going to be. He's never going to have that in him. So without Westbrook, it's only been 2-game sample, but I've been very impressed with him saying, okay, this is what I got to do, putting his head down and taking over and being a man, not just sitting here and trying to be a facilitator, but realizing I got to go up here and get buckets. So I think it's going to be interesting to see how he continues to develop and play throughout the rest of these playoffs as the target and understanding that you really are the alpha male, you know, because it can be very intriguing if somehow
OKC
gets to the finals, because that means he dominated. And that brings to what brings next season. Even if they lose, even if they get swept, you get to the finals, you're feeling pretty confident about your abilities and that this is your team. So it brings a very interesting dynamic in question with Westbrook coming back off an injury. And the last thing I'll say, going back to the Knicks, is why I think we have a great chance, and I talked to Rob about this as well, is that, now, knock on wood, we got to beat the Celtics first, but I told everybody, I thought...
The Celtics, that series is over.
Well, no.
Let's move past the Celtics.
The bottom line is, I felt is for the Knicks, this round one, would be harder than round two. And I'm talking about we play the Pacers or the Hawks because it was just that mental edge. It was the mental component of beating a champion who's done it, but also not have getting out the first round for 12 years. And Melo only getting out the first round 1 year. Like it's like a mental game. It has nothing to do. We killed the Celtics all day on paper. We know that. But it was just that mental thing that worried me going into this series to see how we would take it on. And I feel like when we go out there tomorrow, handle our business, we are a very scary team because now we're scary mentally. It's not even just about what we look like on paper anymore. And I think we'll cruise past the second round, maybe lose one at most, and be ready to play Miami. Because one thing that we have and the Spurs have in common, neither of us are scared of Miami at all.
No. We look
forward to playing them. Now, it can be crazy, but no one is scared to play Miami. And Miami has that Mike Tyson factor with a lot of teams. They come in there knowing they're going to lose. It's like when the U.S. team playing, what was the Africans? They taking pictures before the game. That's how Miami
that's not happening with the Spurs or the Knicks. So, no, you're right from that standpoint. Quick update for my listening audience. If you're not watching, Golden State has come all the way back to cut the lead to 5. As Steph Curry made a 3, it's 96-91 with about 5 minutes left. Denver looks nervous as I don't know what right now, and they should be. So keep your eyes on that.
They got a superstar.
They have no go-to guy to go to as Kent Faried gets a dunk. So 98-91, Denver up by 7. Good performance. Well, the Golden State wins or loses. I'm impressed in terms of how they were getting destroyed in this game. But they've come back. So impressive Golden State regardless of what happens. Certainly looking forward to the second game with Memphis and the Clippers, considering it's basically been like a series of home dominated. So a key game 5 with the L.A. Clippers back at Staples Center. You'll have that. You have Knicks Celtics tomorrow night. The series with Indiana, Atlanta, I don't even care. Nobody cares. Indiana has shown their true colors to absolutely allow Atlanta to destroy them back-to-back games after going up 2-0. Neither one of those teams are going to be a factor whatsoever. Let's just get to the Knicks and Heat and move on. Should be an interesting series. It should be an interesting series. OKC either against Memphis or the Clippers. I think OKC wraps up the series tomorrow night against Houston. And then you'll have Spurs, Golden State. So that could be interesting. Tony Parker, Steph Curry is going to be fun to watch. The Spurs are so businesslike and the veteran team. The Spurs will win that series. But I love to see Golden State. Golden State was the team that I followed all year long as well, as closely as I watched any team, especially with the Lakers in their whole situation. So I've been following this Golden State team closely all year long. That is going to wrap it up for this edition of the Cyril Quinn Review, State of the Lakers. Robert Sapp, Chad Quinn, thanks for joining us. We'll do something in the NBA Finals.
Thank you, sir.
I will see you when I see you. My listening audience, you can catch this at the archives. I will post it as soon as possible. Thank you, and have a great night. So long, fellas.
Later. Okay.
So that wraps it up for this edition of the Cyril Quinn Review. Again, you can catch the archived edition of this at blogtalkradio.com/Cyril Quinn. I will post it up. It'll be, they'll have the replays posted up on Twitter, Blog Talk Radio, Google, wherever you can think of, it'll be posted up. Have a great evening. I will see you soon.
We've been